This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Beloved brothers, this is in Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we have reached the 28th night of Ramadan. And as we said, it's very important that we end off on a high. We can already see the masjid is a little less than it was yesterday. We already see the atmosphere almost as if we, Eid is not yet. Eid is coming, and in fact, it's probably going to be a short Ramadan. So let's wait till Eid comes before we sort of take our foot off the accelerator. We don't want to lose the momentum in this last day or two. We've got tonight and tomorrow night. For all we know, tonight could be Laylatul Qadr. Tomorrow could be Laylatul Qadr. We shouldn't, lose focus in these last few moments. And as I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Allah will reward our Ramadan also on the way we end it. So it's not also the 27th night. So continue pushing yourself. You don't want to, lose out on the last lap, on the last, few moments, and that's where we lose out. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the strength to be consistent. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves consistency more than quantity. We know this hadith, that the deeds that are done consistently are better to Allah, even if it's few. But rather than the person who does a lot today, then nothing tomorrow, and then a lot again, but the one who's consistent, this is what Allah loves the most. Be consistent. Ameen. Questions that came up before we get into our tafsir. First question, alhamdulillah, we will be having our very first Eidgah, inshaAllah, here in the Bull Cup. And that's very historical for a place that has, we've had masajid here for over 200 years. The first khutbah was in this area, the first Muslim community in this country is in this area. Our first Eidgah has been a long time coming. And alhamdulillah, the good news is we received permission from the civic, or permission from the council, to have the Eidgah in Wells Street. The only thing now is left in the hands of Allah. If the rain, we want the rain, but not between the hours of Fajr until, after that, alhamdulillah, Allah can bring the rain. But if the rains, of course, we'll all be having Eid Salah in the masajid. But if the weather holds, then we'll be having our very first Eidgah in Wells Street. And something I must mention here, this is the sunnah. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the Prophet, peace be upon him, he would place Masjid al-Nabawi, the second holiest place on earth, would be closed on the day of Eid, and everybody would come outside to an open area, and even the Prophet would say, call the women. Now, remember we said this before, when the sisters asked, should I come to the masjid, part of the Taraweeh program, we say to the sisters, you're welcome to come, but the reward is better if you stay at home. The opposite is true for Eid. The Prophet said, call the ladies. Even the women in their hadith come to the Eidgah, just don't perform the salah, but come their Eid. So for the sisters, and this is your case, right? You wanted to come to the masjid, we said it's better to stay at home, but you came, alhamdulillah, during the Ramadan. Now on Eid morning, when you're very busy with other things, now is the test to come out. Now is the test to come out during Eid. And subhanAllah, as we said, the Prophet called out the women, the children, everyone came out, and this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we hope to have a great turnout. And I said also for those who are listening, we invite the other areas, the people to come as well, because this is part, it's not just the Eidgah of the Bull Cup, really the Bull Cup is symbolic of the Muslim community, the whole of South Africa. And therefore we hope to come out, but bear in mind, it's still a working day. There's still traffic in town. I made that mistake a few years ago. It takes me about 15 minutes to get to the masjid from home on a normal time. And I put on Eid, alhamdulillah, I'm going to take 7 o'clock. I leave 7:15. I'll be there well before 8. Of course, I got there almost 9 o'clock because of traffic. So be in mind about that. So inshallah, the Eidgah, we hope that Allah bless us to have that Eidgah. Then questions on Zakatul Fitr. What is Zakatul Fitr? Zakatul Fitr, we see, is for every person in your household. If you're the head of the household, or you're the provider, everyone that is dependent on you, your kids, your spouse, your parents, if they live with you, you need to pay Zakatul Fitr for them. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, Zakatul Fitr is it wipes out the mistakes we've made during Ramadan. The idle time, the time we wasted, the shameful things we did, the haram we did, Zakatul Fitr wipes that out. So think about, if you think about Ramadan, it wasn't perfect, yes? Made lots of mistakes, wasted a lot of time. 40 rand wipes it all out so that we can have almost a perfect, a spotless Ramadan. But this must be given before the Eid Salah. And in fact, we collect even before that. Now we had a question, people give their Zakatul Fitr, as part of the cooking of pots of food. So what's going to happen, and we hope the Maharajan will go ahead as well to the rain, but what happens is, of course, many places are cooking pots of food and they're distributing food usually after Eid Salah. And there's therefore complication that this might not be counted as Zakatul Fitr. Because Zakatul Fitr must be distributed to the poor before the Salah of Eid, and it should only be distributed to Muslims. This is the rules of the Sharia. So, in reality, to be safe, Zakatul Fitr should be kind of separated from those things given after Eid Salah. And what should be given is 2 kilos of rice, basically, 2 kilos of barley, plus minus. This is what Zakatul Fitr is, so that everybody has something to eat on the day of Eid. Okay? Alhamdulillah. Any questions on the Idgah or Eid Salah or Zakatul Fitr? Well, no? Alhamdulillah. Yes? Oh, there is a question. Yes, sir.
So the Zakatul Fitr, is that just a once-off for you and family?
Yes, you just do once-off on the, well, the, like, the day before Eid, the two days.
So like this week, if there were 3 days,
yeah, so not much time. Our cut off is basically tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night is the deadline, because it's not going to be time. Because in reality, you can't say, here's my 40 rand, here's a poor person, take 40 rand. You must give food. You must give a staple of food. So someone has to go and buy that rice, which has to go buy that. So what would the Sahaba would do? Okay, let's go back to the Prophet sometime. They would take two handfuls for the sa', it's like 2 kilos of dates or raisins or something, and they would give this to someone that is poor. Now you need to give food substance, not money. So if you can't give the Tariq 5 minutes before the Eid Salah, here's what Zakatul Fitr, the Tariq's not going to get a shop to buy rice. So tomorrow is a cut off, basically after Maghrib, after Taraweeh tomorrow, cut off for Zakatul Fitr to be collected. Okay, once off. Alhamdulillah. Jay. So we continue with Surah Al-Kahf. We completed the Surah yesterday, and I know we rushed sort of over the last 10 ayat. And just to quickly summarize that last section, we said Surah Kahf has 8 sections. And it was all about, it began by saying, look, we have tests. Allah has created us to test us. This dunya, all of it is a test. The good of it, the bad of it is a test. We're going to go through good times, bad times, all of it is a test. And Allah then showed us different kinds of tests, different people, how they responded, from leadership to youth, to scholars, to anbiya, to rich people, poor people, all different kinds of tests. The last 10 ayat are basically the conclusion. So Allah is now saying, you and I have been given a reminder. We've been given guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the surah, and we are instructed to recite the surah every single week to reflect on it. That we will be tested, and this is the answer to these tests. That life ultimately comes down to how we follow this reminder. Life comes down to these ayat, following the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah then tells us on Qiyamah, there will be those people who will be in extreme loss. Their whole life, they were basically in misguidance. They didn't even know that. They basically had the answers to the exam in their hands, but they didn't look at it, they didn't study it, they didn't reflect on it. So they come to Qiyamah with nothing. Allah protect us from that. And then Allah says, on the other hand, there are those people who will be successful, and they will enter Jannah forever and ever. That Jannah will fill those, as the ayah said, they will never ever want to leave it. They will never be bored from it. What did they do? Very simple. They believed in Allah and they did good deeds. They were sincere to Allah. They made, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَعْمَلْ أَمَلًا صَالِحًا, that they did good deeds, they followed the sunnah, وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّي أَحَدًا, and they did not commit shirk, that they worshipped Allah alone, they did not put anything above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the recipe for success. All the tests, all the difficulties, whether it's from the government to the youth, ultimately it comes down to that one simple thing. Worship Allah alone, and follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and you guarantee Jannah. All of us. So that's the conclusion of the surah. So if we were to just have some final thoughts and themes to run through what we've learned, I mean, we thank Allah for granting us to go through the surah. It's a surah that I hope you've learned, I've learned, that it's benefited us, and it's something that we can recite weekly. Let's talk about some of the themes. We'll go through all of them this evening. But just to summarize, you've gone through the whole Surah Al-Kahf. A surah, as we said, is a protection for Dajjal. There must be something special in the surah. It is a guidance which we are reminded every week. So, now we go in and look at the themes of the surah. Number one, we said that life, Allah mentioned in the beginning of the surah, life is a test. As Allah said, verily we have made that which is on the earth as beautiful We've made the things nice in the dunya, enjoyment, as a test for you. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ Who's going to be the best of you? Who of you are you going to get wealth and use it properly? You will be blessed with children and you will use it in the correct way. You will have knowledge, you will have strength. Who is going to use it for the sake of the akhirah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this dunya, the things we enjoy in our wealth and our children are only temporary. And this dunya is only temporary. That ultimately everyone is going to go to the qabr. As we began, we're going to end. So Allah is telling us we only have these 50, 60 years on this dunya. This is a trial period. This is a test period. And it will ultimately determine our akhirah. Allah says your life is like a plant. It starts off small and it grows and then it wilts and it dies. Everyone is going to go through this. No one is exempted. So everyone must ask, where am I on my garden? Which stage of my life am I? And how am I using these tests, these blessings? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now went into specific kind of tests. The test of knowledge. Throughout the Quran, throughout the surah, and in fact the beginning of this Quran, the revelation, is all about ikrah. There is nothing, you know, scientists have studied the universe. And they've studied deep into the ground. And there's nothing more complex, nothing more advanced than this thing in our heads, our brain, this muscle that Allah has given us. Nothing in the universe is like that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this intellect with guidance so that we may come to Him on the straight path. We should be an ummah, the first of people that does things with knowledge. This surah is mentioning that fitna, misguidance, comes from not following knowledge. You have, as Allah says, those who mention that Allah is a son, they have no knowledge in what they are saying. The idols that they are worshipping, it's names that they themselves have invented. How many people talk, Allah says, they talk without knowledge, and they debate without knowledge, and they ask questions without knowledge. We know that, subhanAllah, right now in the Muslim community, there are a few big debates happening, and everyone is involved in commenting without knowledge. You know, this alim says that, and this alim said this, and we all want to get involved. Allah says, and who commits a bigger lie than to talk about Allah without knowledge? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us, don't act without knowledge, don't speak without knowledge. This is the reason why there is fitna, why there is this disunity in the ummah, why there is confusion in the ummah, because we debate and we argue over silly things without knowledge. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks specifically to the ulama. وَيُنْذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا The ulama, you are the custodians of knowledge and guidance in the ummah. If you are misguided, then you misguide thousands, millions of people. And as the Prophet says, close to the time of Qiyamah, close to the coming of Dajjal, there will be people that will look, meaning they will look like us, they will look like mashallah, pious ulama, big beards, turbans, they will look like big sheikhs, but they will be du'at to Jahannam. They will be on the doors of Jahannam, misleading millions of people through their misguidance. May Allah protect us from this. Amen. And we see, subhanAllah, like, we're having an issue right now in the Muslim community. Masajid arguing with each other. One organization telling another one a kafir. SubhanAllah, what is going on? Misguidance. People of knowledge tearing up the community apart. SubhanAllah. This is the danger that we live in when the test of knowledge does not, when knowledge doesn't bring benefit, it brings disunity. May Allah protect us.
Amen.
Allah then reminds us about Iblis. He was given knowledge and really Iblis is a'lam. He is more learned than all of us. He met Allah. He spoke to the angels. He was there. He saw all the anbiya. He knows better than us. But his knowledge didn't benefit him in anything. It made him arrogant and it made him the worst of the worst. Then you have the example of Musa alayhi salam, who speaks to Allah directly. But the minute there comes to him new knowledge, he submits. And he humbles himself. And he goes in like a small child at the hands of Khidr alayhi salam. The lesson for us. The trial of knowledge, the only way to win the trial of knowledge is to run towards it. To humble yourself before it. To have patience with it. To give everything to learn. And maybe Musa al-Islam, he didn't even get much back from Khidr. But he had to go through that process. This is the lesson for all of us. The minute we're not learning, the minute we stop learning as an ummah, this is the minute our ummah goes backwards. The minute we stop ikrah, this is when fitna will come. We live in a time when our kids are exposed to all kinds of ideas and ideologies. You can't run from it anymore. You can't hide from it. There's no cave anymore. The only way is to confront it with knowledge. Shiism, Sufism, Salafism, all these isms, atheism. The only way to confront it is through learning and knowledge. To be patient, to take the time to learn. And we need to be honest, and I make this relevant to us. When do we stop going to madrasa? Primary school. you wouldn't employ someone to fix your car if all he has a primary school knowledge, yes? You wouldn't employ somebody to, subhanAllah, fix your toilet if they have primary school knowledge. But that's the level of knowledge we're giving our kids about the deen, and we expect them to confront the big challenges that's facing in the ummah. Big challenges out there. We need to be serious about learning. We need to be serious about Islamic learning, learning in general. Yes, learning in general, but specifically our deen. We are not ready. Our level of knowledge on the ground is not ready to face the challenges. And that is the coming of fitna. But Allah began the surah by saying, the thing that will protect you from fitna is this Quran, is pure knowledge. When you have pure knowledge, then nothing can blow you over. This is the thing that will be standing like a tree in the wind. It will stand, you keep onto it. But if you don't have this life raft, which is your knowledge, you'll be blown away with fitna. Make a point to learn more about your deen, my brothers and sisters, and implement it in the life of your kids, that they need to learn more and more. So the only cure and the only way of beating the test of knowledge is to learn from it, and then to be humbled and to submit yourself to that. Specifically, we learned something new about insha'Allah. We've learned something new about insha'Allah, when to say, not to say. And we learned la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, when to say that. One of the treasures from the treasures of Jannah. Last point for this evening, we learned about youth. And we said this surah Allah had mentioned, twice Allah had mentioned young people. Twice, first the people of the cave, and was the other youth in the surah? Yusha, right? Nabi Joshua. Two groups of young people. Allah mentioned that they were fityas, twice. And Musa said to his fatah, to his young boy, right? So Allah shows His love and His mercy on young people. And the barakah that comes from them doing the right thing. And subhanAllah, even this idya, I'm sure there will be many scholars and ulama and, you know, leaders that have called for this, you know, unified Eid. It never succeeded. But when our young people seem to come together and they unite on something, then things work. There's barakah in their activities when it's on haq, when it's on guidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the young person who makes the right choices in his youth. Allah will bless him and guide his way. Yes, they will make mistakes. Yes, they will keep a fish, and all they have to do is watch that fish, but they will forget about that. But they have the potential in these young people of ours. There might be a Yusha who will liberate Palestine soon. SubhanAllah, in our midst, young people have potential. And that's why this surah shows that if young people are safeguards, and if they use their youth in the company of good friends, and they have mentors, and they follow the footsteps of learning, then that potential can come out, and subhanAllah, the ummah will be bright. It will have a better tomorrow than they have when we have today. We also found in here a very side theme about how parents save their kids. Who remembers? Where did this come up? Where good parents, the good deeds the parent did, brought barakah in the life of their kids. Who remembers? In Fidr and Musa, the one father was pious, and because of him, his kids, their treasure under the wall was protected. The other case, the child was bad, but the parents were good, so Allah replaced this bad child with someone better. We see here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in the life of our youth. Maybe the reason why our youth are not where we want them to be is because we as parents are not where we should be. That we are a reflection, our youth is a reflection of the leadership that we have. So we begin with us as parents, as teachers, as ulama, as leaders. And insha'Allah, may Allah grant that our youth become better. From the issue of the youth and from the different stories, we see the theme. One thing that will protect you along with knowledge is to surround yourself with good company. Ask yourself in your mind, who are your best friends? Ask yourself, who are the people that you congregate with, who will be on you at your janazah salah? Who are your best friends? As Allah says to the Prophet, don't even look at those who spend their time following their desires. Don't even look at them because they will mislead you. But spend your time with those who remember Allah. Keep with them, stick with them, and this will be a reason for your success. We saw from the youth of the cave, they had good friendship. We saw from Musa and Yusha, people coming together on goodness. Musa and Khidr, one person helping, guiding the other one. Even the man with the two gardens, remember, he had a friend who was pious. He had a friend who gave him da'wah. And the ulama mentioned in the story, yes, his garden was taken away from him, but it was taken away while he was still alive, meaning he had a chance to make tawbah. So even though he was bad, the thing that saved him was a good friend. The thing that kept him on the right path was a good friend. And similarly, Abu Talib, always remember Abu Talib. He could have had the highest place in Jannah. The thing that was lacking was he had a friend called Abu Jahl. On his deathbed, his friend asked him, "When you leave the religion of your forefathers and we die on kufr, Allah save us. Our friends will be with us. The company we keep is a reflection of where we're going to be in Jannah, or my Allah protects in Jannah." So this is one of the messages of the surah: protect yourself through the company that you keep. We continue tomorrow with the last 5 16ths of the surah. Any questions? So we have a few questions. So we're going to have questions for the quiz. We might have a last prize giving tomorrow. And because we only have 2 days left, we're this evening and tomorrow. These questions have two answers, basically. So the first one, we said, yesterday's question, which two elements are needed? So the answer is actually two. Which two elements are needed for your ibadah to be correct? Two things you need to do. You must always be for the sake of Allah. The love, the fear, the hope with Allah. And secondly, you must follow the sunnah. So that's your criteria. If ever you hear about a specific ibadah, make this dhikr or that dhikr, ask yourself, is it for Allah? And is it follow the sunnah? If it says yes, yes, then you are safe. Today's question, if you're paying attention to the surah, which two animals mentioned came up in the surah? Which two animals? A fish, a dog, a cat, or a camel? Two of these four animals appear in the surah. You can enter online, go around the portal, get it A. And you can email me with Muhammad@gmail.com for any questions. As a reminder, again, we will continue. We will have Naqsala or Salatul Layl this evening, half past nine. And Fitra, tomorrow is the cut of 49. Fidya as well, paid tomorrow, but then the extension if you're unable to spend the Fidya on time. And then an invitation, if we will, the Maharajan will be happening. Even if it rains, come rain or shine. Rain or shine, the Maharajan will be happening. So please contribute and participate. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum.